Hello, everyone. This is Bob Zeta. My amateur radio call sign is N1BLF, November 1, Bravo Lima Foxtrot. We'll be reading today the Fall 2008 Journal of the Quarter Century Wireless Association. The QCWA Incorporated Business Office is P.O. Box 3247, Framingham, Massachusetts, 01705-3247. Their telephone number is 508-405-1930. Fax 508-405-1965. And you can email the QCWA Business Office at qcwagm@rnc.com. This recording is being produced in cooperation with the Courage Handyham System, 3915 Golden Valley Road, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55422. It is for the use of eligible QCWA members and Handyham members only. Any other use may violate copyright laws. Handyhams may be reached at area 763-520-0512 or at email address handyham@courage.org. The Handyham website is www.handyham.org. Opinions expressed by the Office of Articles contributed to the Journal do not represent the official position of the officers or directors of the Quarter Century Wireless Association, Incorporated. Before we actually begin the readings of the material, I'd like to give you the Quarter Century Wireless Association officers and the names of the Board of Directors. President Bob Brusk, N0UF. Vice President Kenneth Ken D. Alke, VE6AFO. Secretary Walter Supina, N3WS. Treasurer Frank Harris, WA4PAM. And General Manager Chuck Walbridge, K1IGD. Directors Larry Baldwin, Val Irwin, Carolyn Harrison, Tony Hirsch, Larry McAlvey, William Pasternak, Joan Powell, and Ed Yoder. The historian, we don't want to forget, Gary Harrison, K0BC. Gary's located in Bolivar, Missouri. Our first order of business, then, is from the president, Bob Rusk, spelled R-O-S-K-E. Bob's call, November 0, Uniform Foxtrot, N0UF. Fall 2008. Thanks to the outgoing members of the QCWA board. Your service and dedication is very much appreciated. Congratulations to the winners of the 2008 QCWA election. We were indeed fortunate to have so many good candidates volunteer to serve. The election results were on the webpage in early August and are published elsewhere in this issue of the Journal. For those of you that voted for me, thank you. I'll work hard to keep the trust you've placed in me. For those of you that voted for my opposition, thanks for voting. I'll work hard to earn your trust, too. For those of you that didn't vote, how can you affect change if you don't get involved? The new board took office on September 1st and will be in place for 32 days when we hold the annual board meeting on Thursday before the National Convention in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We've had much to organize and are about the business of running QCWA. Watch the Journal, website, and Reflector for ways you can help move QCWA forward. The operating period for the QCWA 60th Anniversary Operating Award concluded on June 30th. Congratulations to the participants and award winners. I hope you forwarded your application by September 1st. A list of the award winners is posted at http://www.qcwa.org/60-60-award.htm. The second half of the 52nd annual QCWA QCIF party was actually on September 20th, past today's date. If you participated already in that QCIF party, be sure to fill in all the columns of the log you submit and that it contains all the columns it should have. Are you a deputy? with two $250 prizes yet to be awarded for the most new members recruited. I should think you would be. See the article in this journal to find out how you can become a deputy. QCWA is scheduled to hold a QCWA forum at the 2009 Dayton Hamvention. Details will be available early in the next year. While flying the banner, one question I often hear is, what can QCWA do for me? That's a wrong question. The right question is, what can you do for amateur radio through QCWA? Well done to members of Chapter 196 for the unique field day effort. Getting on the air is what ham radio is all about. Finally, a special thanks to all the local chapter officers that strive to make their chapter a success. Without your efforts, QCWA would be a very different organization than it is today. This report is signed 73DE0UF, Op Bob Rusk, QCWA President. Remember the past, look to the future. Now for the members, the wanted are their new lawmen in town. Information is on the very inside of the front cover of the journal for the fall 2008 season. It's very lengthy, and there are 12 rules listed. I won't go through all of that, except to say that in your contacts, whatever fashion they are, you should ask other members who are cited or can at least read the material for you so as to bring you up to speed on how you can participate in becoming a new lawman in town. We'll stay with the business information first. Here's a report by General Manager Chuck Walbridge, called K1IGD. The fall of 2008. Election 2008. The election results are in, and your new board will officially assume their positions on September 1st, per the QCWA bylaws. Here are the results. Those elected are in bold type. Bob Rusk, N0UF, received 1,037 votes as the winner to become president. Len Nathanson, 991 votes. Vice President Ken Olke, Victor Echo 3, Alpha Fox Oscar, ran unopposed. Secretary Walt Supina, N3WS, ran unopposed. Treasurer Frank Harris, WA4PAM, ran unopposed. Now the directors elected, Ed Yoder, W3YMB, 1,623 votes. Carolyn Harrison, 1,610. Leroy Baldwin, 1,585. Val Irwin, 1,528. William Pasternak, 1,482. R.S. Tony Hirsch, 1,444. Larry McCalvey, 1,391. Joan Powell, 1,349. Ken Simpson, Howard Cunningham Jr., Ernie Swenson, Pierre Mainville received less votes. Congratulations to all those elected, and a very sincere thank you to those who consented to run this year but were not elected. All candidates were exceptionally qualified, and we hope you will consider running in the 2010 election. Common question. Common problem. We can't find new members. Nobody wants to run for office. We can't find a program that everyone enjoys. These are typical comments received by headquarters and by board members who support booths at hamfests. Your officers and headquarters staff has faced these problems in the past and, in one way or another, have found an answer. I recommend that you review chapter reports in the journal to see what others are doing. Another source of encouragement are the articles in the QCWA column of World Radio Magazine. Alan, KJ9N, has written some excellent articles on these subjects many times, presenting ideas and suggestions from various perspectives. Other QCWA members who have written the column in years past have recognized these needs. With support from the Chapter Relations Committee and the folks at World Radio Magazine, selected past articles from the columns will be reprinted, We hope they will provide some guidelines for your chapters. Copies of the articles will be available from headquarters or as PDF files on a CD-ROM at no cost to the chapters. Please send your requests to me, Chuck Welbridge, at the Quarter Century Wireless Association, P.O. Box 3247, Framingham, Massachusetts, 01705-3247. Now, regarding cleaning out papers, if any of you have started to clean up your shack, you know, once you begin, it can be a lifetime job. Recently, I started going through some old papers and found hotline reports issued by Jim Walsh back in the 90s. It seems that Jim addressed the same issues that we face with reports and photos in this century. When you place a title or file name on a text or photo file, it is very important to include your chapter number. There are times we need to get the magnifying glass out to check a badge call sign to identify the chapter. And please indicate the author and title of the person submitting the report. In the 90s, digital cameras were just coming into vogue. Jim expressed a concern about photo resolution, which is the same as now. Send as big a file as you can. If you have a problem sending an email attachment, place the files on a CD and mail them to headquarters. When you send a print, we will scan it to have a digital file for publication. Prints from conventional film are the best. Inkjet printers will give a softer look when printed in the final form. There is nothing we can do about that. It is inherent in the process. But printing using the maximum DPI from your printer will give the best results for the journal. Now for the 2008 convention. Chapter 119 is hard at work with the final plans for the convention in Virginia Beach. Please get your reservations in early for both the hotel room and for the convention. All forms and phone numbers are listed in the center spread of the journal. Now for our listener, here on the digest form given to you by the Courage Handyham System. Folks, today's date, I believe, is September 25th, which means that by the time Pat Tice at the Courage Handyham System gets this material, which will probably be late today or tomorrow, we're already very near the end of September. And it may well be that with the following processing for either CDs or, if they're still doing cassettes, to those specific members that are on the list furnished by the QCWA to the Courage Handyham System, that you may not get that information much before the next week or two. Hence, your convention may well be underway, if not already concluded. Now for the 75-year awards. There were several 75-year awards presented after the last issue went to press. I would like to recognize the following for the years of ham activity. Maxwell Berggraf, WA7AIA. George W. Cook, W2RBK. Al Mazur, W9LOB. Congratulations to all of you. The office staff hopes that all of you had a great summer. We look forward to seeing you this fall in Virginia Beach. 73 Chuck K1IGD. Before I leave this page in black frame, there is a comment here. Reactivation of Chapter 69, Everglades Chapter. Member Ed Kane, spelled K-A-N-E, his call, K4MAS, has expressed to headquarters that he would like to see the Everglades chapter reactivated and is willing to take the lead in that action. If you live in the area of Margate, Florida, or nearby, contact Ed. He can be reached by phone at area 954-560-4249 or drop him a note at 7800 Northwest 18th Street, Margate, Florida, 33063-2991. This chapter was originally chartered in 1974. We have a very special happy birthday announcement. It's on page 6 of the QCW Waitfall Journal. Pete Sides, spelled S-I-D-E-S, call W4AUP, celebrates 100th birthday. This material is furnished by Larry McAlvey, WA9JMO. I had the great pleasure of attending the centennial celebration of William P. Pete Sides' birthday on April 12th of this year in Montgomery, Alabama. About 100 folks gathered in the auditorium of the Alabama Power Company in Montgomery, a company Pete had worked at for 41 years before retiring in 1976 to participate in the grand event. Pete was licensed in 1930, holds the amateur call W4AUP, and is very active on the ham bands. He checks into two QCWA nets, that's chapters 49 and 41, a power company net, and holds numerous schedules with his many ham friends. Pete is a QCWA Life member. His number is 04030 and a member of Georgia Chapter 49. Pete has held several ARRL positions and is a 72-year Life member of the League. He is a chapter member of the Birmingham and Montgomery Amateur Radio Clubs and has been very active on most of the ham bands as his numerous certificates for DX, VHF, and public service contacts can attest to. Dave Sisko called W4AXL, Pete's friend and the celebration's master of ceremony, said, "If I had to pick one thing that Pete has done, it would be that in his 78 years as a ham, he has contributed more to the hobby than any other person I know." Pete was born on April 10, 1908, married to Mary for 60 years. She passed away in 1993 and currently still enjoys all the aspects amateur radio has to offer. Pete, I, and your worldwide ham family would like to wish you continued success in our great hobby and many more years of exciting QSOs. 73. That was submitted by Larry McAlvey. We also have a congratulatory commentary for our QCWA Life member Ed Karagzosian, K6JGN, who is honored by the Newport Beach, California Police Department. The Newport Beach Chamber of Commerce held their 37th Annual Police Appreciation Awards Breakfast March 20th. The Volunteer of the Year Award was presented to RACIS operator Ed Karagzosian, K6JGN. The commendation read, "Ed has been a member of the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, that's RACIS, since 1990. RACIS was the first volunteer group formed at the police department. Ed has a personal commitment to emergency preparedness and has been the driving force behind the RACIS programs. Ed's dedication to the program has been credited with keeping RACIS an active part of the organization." Congratulations, Ed. And there's a picture of Ed here being presented the Volunteer of the Year Award by the Newport Beach Police Department's Chief of Police, John Klein. Now, for my listener, what follows next is submitted by Dick Clark, call K6GLB. It's headlined, "Leo Meyerson and the Golden Age of Amateur Radio." It goes as follows. There's a picture of Leo also. "I was first licensed in 1954 while a junior in high school. I could ill afford radio equipment, and my parents were reluctant to finance my hobby, so I was reduced to perusing the ham magazines of that era. In the advertising sections, there always appeared ads from World Radio Labs of Council Bluffs promoting their inexpensive radio transmitters. With each ad, there appeared a picture of the store and a company owner, Leo Meyerson, W0GFQ. These ads turned up in so many journals, magazines, and handbooks during those days that his picture and name were forever etched onto the minds of anyone following this pursuit. There was never a single personality, except possibly ARRL founder Hiram Percy Maxim, that was so associated with ham radio. Recently, I was more than surprised to learn that there was a luncheon, QCWA 154, apparently that's his chapter, to honor Leo and award him a certificate for 80 years as a licensed amateur. I was quite surprised because, being new to the club, I had no idea Leo was still with us. I attended the luncheon along with a myriad of other hams filling the restaurant. Leo earned his license when he was 17 and today is 97. He needs someone to steady him as he walks. When he speaks, he measures his words carefully, and his sense of humor and storytelling skills are well intact. Dave Bell, W6AQ, licensed over 55 years, traveled from his home in Hollywood to MC the occasion. Dave Bell is a former chair of the ARRL's PR committee, personal friend of Leo Meyerson, and a frequent speaker at ham radio gatherings. Introducing Dave was Gene Pentecost, W4IMT, QCWA Chapter 154 president. Dave asked Leo for his most memorable moment in ham radio. Leo's response exemplified his subtle sense of humor. Paraphrasing Leo's answer, quoting, "I had this acquaintance who was traveling to Mexico City ask me for a ham referral there. I give him the name of a friend. A week later, I called my Mexican friend and asked him if he had been contacted by my acquaintance. 'Oh, sure,' was his response. 'Do you want me to cash any more checks for him?' I told him, 'Hell no,' and asked how much he had cashed. I sent my Mexican friend $650 to cover the bad checks." End quotation. Leo is such an interesting personality, especially to those of us in ham radio, that I wanted to know more about his 97 years. Leo was born in Omaha in 1911, and in 1919 his family moved to Council Bluffs, Iowa, just across the Missouri River east of Omaha. Leo earned his amateur radio license at W9GFQ in 1928, after a run-in with the feds for unlicensed broadcasting under AM bands for 3 months. When the zero call area came into being, he changed to W0GFQ. After college, Leo's father encouraged him to enter the family grocery business, but after several years, Leo sought his independence and opened his first ham radio and electronics store and named it Wholesale Radio Laboratories. World War II curtailed the activities of ham radio, forcing Leo to seek an alternative vocation. He found this by producing hundreds of thousands of quartz crystals for the military, for which he received the coveted Army-Navy Production E Award for achievement in producing materials for the war. After the war, Leo restarted the ham radio business under the slightly new name of World Radio Laboratories, WRL. This begins what I like to term the golden age of amateur radio. With the technology developed during the war, numerous companies began producing very fine ham radio equipment. Leo joined the rise of the boat anchors by hiring engineers to design transmitters for the burgeoning market. Under the Globe brand, World Radio Laboratories sold numerous models, the best known of which was the Globe Scout, that sold over 50,000 units during its lifetime. In an interview, I asked about the receivers. Expressing regret, Leo responded that he could never find an engineer capable of designing a receiver that he was comfortable in marketing. Asked about his successful marketing and advertising, Leo wanted to personalize his company. Each day he went in the shipping department to sign every invoice with thanks, 73, Leo, W0GFQ. One of his most successful advertising ventures was the production of his U.S. map of ham regions, of which he distributed over 750,000 copies. Conversing with Leo Mars in his historic walk through the Golden Age, he speaks affectionately of friends such as Art Collins, Bill Halligan of Hallicrafters, Robert Drake, Faust Gonsett, Lloyd Hammerlund, Bob Hendry, Jim Millen, and national radio engineers Fred Drake and Glenn Browning. He related conversations with Herb Johnson of Swan Electronics and Edgar F. Johnson of the Viking brand. Even though many of these men were competitors, to his credit, Leo never speaks negatively of anyone. Sometimes a smile or hesitation reveals an undeclared recollection, but Leo just moves on to the next subject. More than an icon to amateur radio, Leo Meyerson is an icon to American citizenship. Leo capitalized on the freedoms we share as Americans to build businesses, create useful products, and generate employment. It is Leo Meyerson that makes this such a great country. Well, we thank very much the submission of this material by Dick Clark, call K6GLB. Leo Meyerson and the Golden Age of Amateur Radio. Thanks, Leo. From the QCWA as well. Well, folks, I found myself just about halfway through the recordings for the fall issue of the QCWA Journal. I'm going to begin the chapter reports. It's sort of an interesting thing here on the work that we do at the Courage Handyhemp System to provide certain members of the QCWA with the recorded material in the form of, I suppose, CDs, or perhaps even yet the old analog cassettes, although I believe they're just about phased out. The only problem is that we have 13, sometimes 14, folks from the QCWA membership asking for that kind of material. And unfortunately, when I go to look for that particular chapter in any of the quarterly journals that are furnished to me, about half of them are represented. Now, the obvious objective here is to have those chapters send reports in to the QCWA for recorded information and the printing of the stuff in the journal. So all we can do is the best we can do. I'm going to begin with Chapter 1, Cleveland, Ohio. How can QCWA members squeeze better mileage out of today's high-priced gas? July guest speaker John Porter, a master technician and a founder of Stony Creek Automotive, told us 23 ways to do that. His smart driving techniques included accelerating slowly from a stop, avoiding long idle times, emptying your trunk and interior of extra items, and using 89-octane fuels for higher mileage. Service tips included maintaining a clean air filter and throttle body, having a well-lubricated engine and transmission, keeping correct tire inflation for low rolling resistance, reducing drag by proper tire alignment, and keeping proper spark plug and injector function for best fuel efficiency. We are saddened to report the passing of Chapter 1 members Andrew Doles, W8UDG, on June 10, 2008, and George Bud Hager, K8SQC, on April 15, 2008. This is reported by D.E.D. Logan, call W1HEO. Although we don't have any recorded members requesting information from the type of recordings we provide from the Courage Handyhemp System, there is a report by Chapter 6, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and one by Chapter 8, Upper Midwest, Minnesota. But we're going now to Chapter 10, Michigan. Michigan Chapter 10 held their annual meeting on May 3, 2008 at Cadillac, Michigan, in conjunction with the Waxahachie Amateur Radio Club Swap and Shop. Thanks to the Waxahachie Club for providing QCWA tables at this event at no charge. Our annual meeting held at the Waterfront Restaurant in Cadillac, Michigan was attended by 41 members and guests. Following the luncheon, my call, WB8ICN, called the meeting to order. The election of officers was held and found Mel Moore, NM8L, from Grayling, Michigan, as our new president, and Lowell Corbin, W8IQB, from Tulsten, Michigan, as our new vice president, both for a two-year term, and Jim Bishop, W8JFB, was reelected to a three-year term as secretary-treasurer. Our guest speaker, Larry McAlvey, W89JMO, QCWA director from Racine, Wisconsin, gave a brief presentation about QCWA and assisted with a presentation of 18 QCWA service awards for 2008. The 12 award recipients were both 50th year anniversary of licensing award and 50 years of continuous licensing award were presented to Gordon K. Bean, St. Charles, Michigan, David M. Clark, Kalamazoo, Miriam R. Gregg, Iona, Richard S. Larson, Lake, Michigan, Edwin J. Robinson, Clinton Township, Michigan, QCWA 50th Anniversary of Licensing Award presented to John C. Krull, Flint, Michigan, and James W. Dow of Rochester, Michigan. The QCWA 55th Anniversary of Licensing Award presented to David W. Franklin, Saline, Michigan, Arnold J. Newman, Zeeland, Michigan, George L. Rauman, Big Rapids, Michigan, and James W. Dow, Rochester, Michigan. QCWA Century Club Award presented to Albert E. Harbor, St. Clair, Michigan, and John Jan Jalima of Ypsilanti, Michigan. Our sincere congratulations to all of these award recipients for the many years of dedication to amateur radio and to the QCWA. We would like to extend a sincere welcome to these new members of QCWA and Chapter 10 and hope that you enjoy many years of good fellowship. James W. Dow from Rochester, Paul D. Zadonia of Pinconning, Michigan, and James J. DeLonchamp of Ypsilanti, Michigan. It is with deepest regret that we must report the silent key status of long-time devoted QCWA and Chapter 10 member Alex Polly. Polytica, her call was W8FLA from Allegan, Michigan, and Fort Pierce, Florida. Polly was first licensed in 1931 and joined QCWA with the membership number of 04270. Active on many nets and in many organizations, Polly was 95 years of age and a QCWA Honorary Life member. Because we do not know the winners of the QCWA election at the time of this article is being written, we would like to extend our congratulations to those individuals that are successful in their bid for the various offices in our recent QCWA election. And we thank all those individuals that were willing to run for those offices. We had an outstanding slate of candidates in this election. We look forward to supporting all of you as we move forward with the QCWA mission. As summer winds down, we would like to wish everyone the very best of holiday greetings as the Thanksgiving Christmas seasons come upon us. Let us not forget Veterans Day and all those that gave so much for this great country of ours. And here's an editor's note. All photographs from this article may be viewed on the Chapter 10 webpage on the QCWA website. The reporter here was James F. Bishop, W8JFB, Secretary Treasurer. Really, a very nice and rather lengthy chapter report. Thanks a lot, James. Now, for your listeners, you might note that there were certain chapters asked to report for those who received this information on CD or cassette. There was a request for Chapter 21 in Canton, Ohio, Chapter 25 in Nebraska, Chapter 65, Niagara Frontier, New York, and Chapter 67, Austin, Texas. None of your operations there provided any information in the form of chapter reports to the journal. So I'm sorry to say that we have nothing to record for those members that were seeking this kind of listening experience. I'll continue with Chapter 76, Blue Ridge in North Carolina. Chapter 76 has had a pretty active second quarter, both as a chapter and in smaller groups. Here's the news. At our April chapter meeting, we were visited by Steve Lines, president of the Western Carolina Air Museum, located here in Hendersonville at the burgeoning Hendersonville Airport. This museum was founded almost two decades ago now, has an impressive collection of antiques, many in flyable condition. Steve discussed and pointed out the many problems associated with aircraft restoration, which many members of the museum are actively engaged in. The museum has been a great local attraction for tourists and kids of all ages, and you can learn more at the following website, www.wncairmuseum.com. WNCAIRMUSEAM.com. In May, we obtained a free video from the Northern California DX Foundation on the recent Scarborough Reef expedition. Several of us had worked the operation gratefully, and it was very interesting to see something beyond the still photos we'd seen up to now. This is a great program opportunity for any group of radio amateurs and is highly recommended. If you show it to civilians, they'll be convinced we're all a bunch of nuts, but that's the way it goes. If you're interested in this video for your chapter or club, all you have to do is ask the NCDXF, that's the Northern California DX Foundation, and if you have internet capabilities, you can find them on the web, that's the Northern California DX Foundation, and they'll loan you a copy. Finally, at the June meeting, we were shown the expansion being done at the Duke Power Cliffside Power Plant. This plant has generated a great deal of controversy since it's a coal-fired, and environmentalists seem to feel that any plant, regardless of the advanced technology being employed, using coal is bad, B-A-D. In fact, we were impressed at the technology being used, much of it from overseas, and the lengths that Duke Energy was going to, and the expense, we might add, to protect the environment and be a good neighbor. The accompanying picture shows the plant manager, Rick Roper, on the right, you'll not see that in this presentation, and his facilities manager, Wade Holloway, accepting their coveted Chapter 76 coffee mugs, a small thank you we offer to all of our guest speakers. Going back to February, recall that our speaker was Dr. Mike Castellas from the PASCOR Astronomical Institute, that's P-A-R-I. At that time, Mike invited us up to Parry for a guided tour, and in April, some 25 of us, members and friends, took him up on the offer. The full story on Parry and the tour will appear in an upcoming issue of the journal. While we were at the site, we learned that the Radio Jove experiment was no longer functioning, and in June, three of us went back to see if we could resurrect the installation. The original antenna was two crossed log periodic antennas, circular point, required new coaxial and some rotator repair. The antennas would have to be taken down for repair and would involve a crane or bucket truck. Funds are not something that Parry has a lot of, so we decided the KISS, K-I-S-S, principle would be best and least expensive to get the project back on track. The experiment will be largely unattended, so we're going with a pair of phase 20.1 megahertz dipoles, the same antenna setup suggested by the International Jove Project team. You'll read more about our progress in the months ahead. If you'd like more information on Radio J-O-V-E, just do a Google search, and I hope you do. Those Google searches are really fun, folks. I do them a lot myself. That's it for the second quarter of 2008. Field Day is coming up, and we've learned over the years that if you want rain and lots of it, just set up a Field Day operation. Stay healthy. And 73. The reporter here was Duke Knife, K-N-I-E-F. Call Whiskey 4 Delta Kilo, W4DK. Nice job done, Duke. Well, we're moving up the ladder to Chapter 89, Palmetto, South Carolina. It is with extreme sadness that I must report the passing of Forrest Ramsey, call W4MPR. Forrest was a Navy veteran of World War II, assigned as radio man aboard merchant marine vessels in the Atlantic that had naval gun crews assigned to them fighting German submarines. He made many crossings and had some interesting stories to tell. An active ham, he was a regular on the Saturday morning QCWA phone net, noon lunch bunch net, South Carolina SSB evening net, and was NCS of our Sunday afternoon phone net. He was a real Southern gentleman and will be missed. The regular June meeting of Chapter 89 was held Saturday, June 21st at Ryan's Steakhouse in Columbia. We had a sparse turnout this time, but with gas hovering around $4 a gallon, I expect we are going to see more of our activities curtailed somewhat. Door prizes were given. Don Zupan, W3MIF, won the QCWA golf shirt, and Jenny Myers, WA4NGV, won the QCWA baseball cap. Bryce Myers, K4LCF, gave an interesting report on events happening in the Charleston area, repeaters concerning intentional interference on 2 meters. It had gotten to the point where it was necessary to involve the FCC. Raleigh Hollingsworth, K4ZTH, was contacted, and the problem seems to have been corrected. Well, Riley's retired now. Let's hope things stay corrected, huh? A note to you fellows concerning interesting stories you may have to tell. Write them down now. They don't have to be shining examples of the literary art. Jot things down as you remember them, and if you are not inclined in that direction, you can always get someone to help you with the composition. But do it now. We discussed this at the get-together after Forrest's funeral. It's too bad that so many good stories are being lost with our members when we have so much to tell that others would appreciate. That was filed by Ralph Mott, M-O-T-T, call N-4-R-M, November 4, Romeo, Mike. Thank you very much, Ralph. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, I'm sort of heading up to the Yankee Massachusetts Club. That's Chapter 112. But, you know, I have to say this, and remember, I'm really sort of a very interested and involved bystander with QCWA because I do these recordings for you people through the courtesy of the Courage Handy Ham system. I notice over the last 2 years that I've been doing this that the very same chapters seem to be always reporting in these journals. The reason I say that here is that as I go from Chapter 89 in Palmetto, South Carolina, that I just read for you, I have to go over Chapter 91, Vic Clark, Virginia. Always a great chapter. The report is being filed by Dick Rucker, KM4ML, and it includes a lot of good commentary from Chris Imlay, W3KD, ARRL's General Counsel. I'm sure a lot of you would want to hear it. But I just have to go by that because of the time constraints. It's not asked for in this case. And I'm not trying to be stubborn. I'm just trying to make a point with you clubs that hear about this commentary, maybe on the nets or whatever. Get your typewriters or your internet connections going and send your reports in to the journal as per the instructions. It would really be much appreciated. Also, thank you to Chapter 107 in Central Florida, J. Hitchcock. K8YGH, file that one. And Chapter 109, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They always got some fun down there. They're always in the different publications talking about the battleships and those other boats down there that are all famous for it having taken part in World War II. But now it gets me up to Chapter 112, Yankee, Massachusetts. Our annual meeting was held at the Chateau Restaurant on April 19, 2008. The meeting was opened with introductions. K1IGD Chuck spoke about our silent keys. W1EES Harold Chase and W2CVF Ralph Hasslinger. Ralph was very generous in donations for the scholarship program. A moment of silence for our silent keys. W1EES, W2CVF, and W1HH. QCWA will apply for a club call. W2CVF has a second club call. W2MM is the primary club call. Janice gave for IJK, read the secretary's report. Chuck, K1IGD, read the treasurer's report. Awards for the following members were presented. 50 years went to Lloyd Hinckley, Colin Leith, Kenneth Atkins, Ray Bintliff, I guess, Dave Rigo, Harold Hyman, Bob Glidia, 60 years, wow, James Fisk, Richard Brown, and 75 years to Charles Cross. The aforementioned lovely Janice, K4IJK, secretary, provided this information for Chapter 112 in Yankee, Massachusetts. Now, folks, I'm progressing through the chapter reports that have been submitted. The next one I was looking for was 149, Nutmeg, in Connecticut. Now, recall, I just finished 112. There were quite a few in between that submitted, but they were not on this list of preferred QCWA members needing assistance with their reading ability. And it was not until I came to Chapter 165, all the way from 112 to York County, Pennsylvania, that I'm able to accomplish my mission and objective of providing information for those that are print impaired. So, Chapter 165, York County, Pennsylvania. The annual family picnic for Chapter 165 was held on June 21, 2008 at the Keystone VHF Club's Outdoor Pavilion in York, Pennsylvania. There were 23 members and guests in attendance. As usual, we invite the widows of Silent Key members of our chapter to the picnic. There were two in attendance this year. After the picnic lunch, a short business meeting was held. There were anniversary awards presented to two members present. William Barefoot, a W3UQJ, was presented with his 55-year award, and Lawrence Fetrow, W3LSV, was presented with his 50-year award. Larry, one of our chapter members, only visits us one time per year from Tamarack, Florida. Three other awards were awarded to members that were not in presence. Cecil Mundorf and Gene Owen were awarded their 50-year anniversary awards, and John Schaefer received the 55-year award. We were all saddened by the passing of Pete DeVolpe, K3PD, one of our members. Pete was very active in ARRL activities and was a QSL manager for more than 20 foreign stations. Pete will be missed by all in our chapter. At 63 years, he left us much too soon. This was reported by Ray Schaub, S-H-A-U-B, call W3AXC, Secretary Treasurer. And the last fine fellows on our list today is the chapter number 205, Eastern Indiana. Members of our chapter who also are VEs were thrilled recently to see so many new people pass the test and become new amateurs. They have told us that they are grateful for all the help we are giving them to get them up and running. Our early trek to Hampvention went well this year, and many of us brought something back for the shack. We had a special dinner just prior to that weekend, so those going could make plans for arranging carpools. Chapter members were of a great help in installing the amateur equipment at the 911 Emergency Operations Center recently, and our chapter net originates from there on occasion. Special recognition is given to Horace Smitty Smith, WIPPD. Smitty has been licensed since 1952, and he has a 50-mile round trip to make our meetings, but he never misses a meeting. What a great guy! As fall weather approaches, our antenna projects are winding down, and we are making plans for fall activity since it is just around the corner. Have a safe fall while enjoying our great hobby. That was filed by Mike Chambers, W1IDX president. Now that we've completed the actual chapter reports, we're going to change pace and perhaps a little speed to an article that's titled The Wings Over the Rockies, Air and Space Museum. The author is Scott Thompson, called KB6CC. He's part of Chapter 58 of QCWA. The Wings Over the Rockies Air and Space Museum is Denver's first aerospace museum and has been designated by the Colorado State Legislature as the official Air and Space Museum of the state of Colorado. Located in the 1930s-era Air Force hangar on the former Lowry Air Force Base, the museum serves the Denver area as its third-largest event venue. The museum is Denver's newest historical and educational facility dedicated to education, science, mathematics, technology, the rich history of flight in the Rocky Mountain region. With 30 aircraft and special exhibits, including amateur radio, sponsored in part by QCWA Colorado Chapter 58, and an objective of teaching the younger generation about the science of aviation and space travel, there is something of interest in the museum for everyone. In addition to a working HF and a 2-meter amateur radio station called K0WAR, Kilo Zero Whiskey Alpha Romeo, Wings Amateur Radio, WAR, as they like to call it, we are installing amateur radio satellite equipment in the full-size International Space Station module on exhibit at the museum. We have the radios, VHF and UHF, cross-polarized antennas, azimuth elevation rotors, computers with KCT rotor control, still trying to figure out the best, easiest tracking program, of course, as well as the backup antennas, UPS, amplifiers, and etc. Seems like a lot of generous people have helped them along there up in the high elevations, huh, folks? 1 in 5, that's 20% of all U.S. astronauts, have birthplace, hometown, or alma mater ties to Colorado. And a few more have other well-known affiliations in Colorado. Additionally, 1 in 4, 25% of all Colorado astronauts are licensed amateur radio operators. On Friday, May 23, 2008, Colorado's Wings Over the Rockies Air and Space Museum hosted ceremonies for the opening of an inspiring new exhibit, Colorado's Astronauts, in Their Own Words, featuring personal reflections, memorabilia, and artifacts from astronauts with Colorado ties, as well as NASA's presentation of the Ambassador of Exploration Award honoring one of Colorado's astronauts, John L. Jack Swigert. NASA officials presented the award, which includes a lunar sample, part of the 842 pounds of moon rocks returned during the lunar expeditions from 1969 to 1972. Remember that one, fellas and gals? You young enough for that? I am. In memory of Swigert, the award was accepted by his sister, Virginia Swigert, and placed on display at the Wings Over the Rockies Air and Space Museum. Although our space station satellite radio system was not operational at the time for the activities of May 23, amateur radio volunteers at California's Wings Over the Rockies Air and Space Museum operated a successful HF special event station for 12 hours on Friday, May 23, helping to celebrate the opening of the Colorado Astronauts Exhibit and NASA's presentation of their Ambassador of Exploration Award. A special certificate is being awarded to confirmed contacts on receipt of a QSL and SASE, self-addressed stamped envelope. attended by over 750, in addition to NASA officials and Virginia Swiger, special guests included, Janine Spillane, Jack's niece, other Swigert family members, General Hall, Jack's commanding officer, Gene Kranz, flight director, Apollo 13, James A. Lovell, commander, Apollo 13, Fred Heiss, lunar module pilot, Apollo 13, Ken Mattingly, original command module pilot, Apollo 13, Brian Duffy, November 5, Whiskey, Quebec Whiskey, NASA astronaut, Ron Seeger, Kilo Charlie 5 Echo Tango Hotel, NASA astronaut, Jeff Ashby, NASA astronaut, Richard Truly, NASA astronaut, a lot of dignitaries there. I guess it means a lot to them, and well, it should. Local invites VIPs included Colorado Governor Bill Ritter, other California officials, and Colorado space industry representatives. Details, links, and information can be found on the web at http://wings.rmhcn.org/. I give it to you again, lowercase wings.rmhcn.org/. That was filed by Scott, KB6CC. Scott's email for comments is his call, kb6cc@arrl.net. There is a picture here of the wings over the Rocky certificate for those who worked the station. A latter comment, Chapter 58 has been hard at work setting up an amateur radio station as part of the displays at the Wings Over the Rockies Museum Air and Space Museum in Denver. The photo shows the operator console at the KOWAR ham station at the museum. Russ Young, W0EXR, and Christine Wilson, KC0INX, are comparing notes. Christine was a recipient of the QCWA Scholarship Award in 2006 and now a sophomore in college. She's prettier than ever, boys and girls. Christine was a featured speaker at the QCWA convention held in Denver in 2006. A special dedication at the museum is planned for the May time frame and will be reported in the Fall Journal. Well, this is the Fall Journal. I don't know if it's in here or not. I tend to doubt it. Along with a more detailed description of the station and its activities. It's signed Scott Thompson, Kilo Bravo 6, Charlie Charlie, chapter member. So there we have it, folks. Remember, the QCWA 2008 International Convention is in about 10 days, October 3-5, 2008, at Virginia Beach, Virginia. You're probably not going to be able to make much out of that if you haven't already done so, but here's a heads up as we close out. Get ready for the 2009 Orlando Hamcation, amateur radio and computer show at the Central Florida Fairgrounds, 4603 West Colonial Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32808, February 13, 14, and 15. Don't say we haven't given you a lot of time to get familiar with that if you can plan to go, or are a snowbird or a sunbird, whatever they call those people heading south. Don't head right now. There's another hurricane up the coastline right now about September 26th, and you might want to wait till maybe, latter December or 1st of January. I thank you very much for listening to me. This is Bob Zeta. My call is November 1, Bravo Lima Foxtrot, N1BLF. My QTH, or geographic location, is Dartmouth, Massachusetts. We're a suburb of New Bedford, Mass. I guess our biggest claim to fame is, if it isn't a gateway to Cape Cod, it's that we are the largest dollar fishing port in the United States of America. And we do an awful lot with scallops as well. We say fishing port, but there's more to fishing than just fish. And we're very close to good old Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket Island. And I sometimes have to stop the recording, folks, because I'm very near to New Bedford Airport. And when they come roaring in, and now the jets come roaring out, yeah, you might hear of them if I didn't cut the mic off for a few seconds. I thank you very much for listening to us on the QCWA Journal for the fall of 2008. Now, very briefly, your contact for the QCWA on the web is www.qcwa.org, and you can email the director or the business office, I suppose I should say, at qcwagm@rcn.com. Now, this recording has been produced by the Courage Andy Hemp System in cooperation with the Quarter Century Wireless Association, and we do it very, very happily because we feel an affinity to you good people. The Courage Andy Hemp System is located at 3915 Golden Valley Road, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55422. This recording is for the use of eligible Handy Hemp members and, of course, QCWA members who cannot read the material themselves. I wish you'd all pass that information along to your membership. Any other use might violate copyright laws. Handy Hemp may be reached at area 763-520-0512 or an email address, handyhemp, that's H-A-N-D-I-H-A-M, one word, handyhemp@courage.org. Website, www.handyhemp.org. HandyHam.org. Thanks a lot for listening along. 73s, 88. Have a great fall season, and we look forward to talking to you again during the winter months. Bye-bye.